My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, the mic's on. Mic's on now. What's up, everybody? Good morning.
Hot
vibes
hot.
Are good on a Friday. Mic's hot. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. What up to the chatty gang hanging out with us on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. What's up to everybody hanging out with us on the radio at 1320 a.m. and on the free Odyssey app. It's a Friday. Didn't get off to a great start because I didn't have my mic on at first, but that's fine. We're working through it.
All right.
Everything's all good.
Is that called a cold mic?
Cold mic.
All right.
I think so.
I guess.
Yeah, man. Good morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
Donut Friday. Do you have a donut?
I did. I had half a donut watching my weight.
Okay. What kind of donut did you get?
I had a chocolate, just a regular like glazed with chocolate on top.
Sure, sure, sure. Did you use a knife to cut it?
Yes.
Okay, good. So like a person in civilized society.
Yeah, I did not just rip one in half and throw it back in.
Okay, so I'm going to call somebody out, an old coworker.
Oh?
From... I don't want to name a radio station, so we're going to make one up. We're going to call it 90 My Mevin the Mame.
Oh, yeah.
Is what we're going to call our fake radio station. And I don't want to name a host, so we're going to call him Spats Spinemets.
Oh,
and
yep.
This dude walks up to the donuts, because Donut Friday was the thing there as well, at 90 My Mevin the Mame.
Yep. Good recall.
He goes, he picks up a donut and he goes, I'm going to eat this whole thing. I go, well, no, you can just eat like half of it, I guess. And so he tears it in half and then sets the other half in the box.
Now he's touched it.
Like a Neanderthal.
That's crazy.
Like, hey, spy me. You got to eat your donut now. You don't get to eat half anymore.
That's right.
You have to have a strategy. If you're going in going, I'm eating half a donut, you go to the little kitchenette. You find a knife, because we didn't have a little kitchenette here. We were in the projects.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a nice kitchen here. So there were available utensils, though, where you could have gotten a donut in half without tearing it.
Yes.
And if you have to tear it, grab a napkin or some mechanism of holding the donut so you don't have your fingers all over the donut.
So I carefully laid out a paper towel.
Good.
I used a knife to go in and fish out a donut using the center of the donut as my leverage spot.
Perfect.
I laid it down on the paper towel. I cut it.
This is great. This is great donut etiquette.
And then I scooped underneath with the knife, was able to get the other half off and throw it back in the box.
Wow. That's really, really strong. That's really well done by you. That is perfect donut etiquette if you are not going to eat a whole donut. Oh, that was quick. One thing. I didn't like that. Hang on, I got to put it. There we go. A button didn't work the first time.
Oh, so typically I would have eaten an entire donut, but we have, it's like family and friends day. I don't know what's going on in
here.
Yeah,
there are children everywhere.
So I was looking around like, oh, we might not have enough donuts because there's all these people.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't that I'm watching my weight because typically I'm.
Is it bad? So again, for me, I don't donut every week. I get them on paydays and then I have one on payday. It's like a little treat, a little Friday treat, little vibe check.
Yeah.
And I get a dozen for the office. I should probably get a dozen and a half, but it's fine. So I got a dozen for the office, but then I also get a separate one for me. So I'm not digging into the dozen that I'm buying.
Oh, okay.
Does that make?
Yeah, because when I bring like donuts, right I move. Usually bring two dozen.
Right, you bring a lot of donuts,
and then I just grab one for myself.
Sure.
Out of the box.
Yeah, that's sure. I go. I'm cheap though.
Well, donuts are expensive now. I don't think people understand how much donuts were. Like I had to actually mention it in a sales meeting. Like we bring donuts all the time. Do you have any idea how much we spend on donuts?
Like, we don't have to.
It's a car payment.
Do you want to boycott Donut Fridays?
No, I don't.
I don't either. Love Donut Fridays. Thank God.
But donuts.
I was super worried you were going to be like, hey, we're not doing it anymore.
It used to be like $6 a dozen. Now it's like, it's 18 bucks a dozen. And then they want, you know, they have a little spot for a tip. You're like, I got a tip. So you end up $40 every week, man. That's a lot of cash.
Well, if you're going to snag two dozen, yeah, it's going to be a lot. I think my dozen with my, I get an apple fritter. With my apple fritter is like $20.
Okay.
That's a move.
And I've told you, my wife makes incredible apple fritters.
Yes. I'm sick of the fact that you keep bringing this up.
That's going to happen
without
next week.
Bringing them here.
Next week. Well, when are you gone for a week?
Since our first show, I've been like, I love an apple fritter. And you were like, hey, my wife makes great apple fritters. And every time we talk donuts, an apple fritter comes up. You're like, yeah, hey, by the way, best apple fritters in the world. I'm ever. Keeping them from you.
Yes.
I don't like that.
I do.
I don't like that one bit.
Well, I'm going to have her get on this. Or I'll just bring them while you're on vacation again.
Oh, God, that would be so funny. I would respect that so much. I'm on vacation in a month.
Not in a month. I think it's 2 weeks. No?
Or is it?
Or is it?
Guess you're just going to have to wing it and bring. I think you should just bring them just in case. No, I'm not. I'm in next week. Gone the next week. Major League Baseball opening day is yesterday. We have a huge Kings game tonight, by the way. Kings Mavs at Golden 1 Center.
Kind of a big deal, Kyle.
A little bit of a big deal. We will talk about just how big of a deal it is coming up in a bit. But Major League Baseball opening day was yesterday. The Giants down in San Diego. They lost 6-4 to the Padres. It's a fun game. Like back and forth. And I think those are going to be two teams battling for playoff positioning, wild card spots in the National League West. I'm not ready to put either of them above the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm not ready to go out on that limb.
Nope.
But I do think those are two good teams, and I think you saw a really good ball game down there in San Diego yesterday. Nerdy baseball thing, just real quick.
All right.
I promise. I won't bore people with baseball stuff. Logan Webb did a lot of first pitch off speed stuff yesterday, and I love that.
Okay.
I think the first pitch changeup is way underutilized.
That's clever.
I love it. Especially first game of the year. Guys all revved up, like ready to go, and you're just pulling the string, stealing a strike. Little
nice
off speed pitch.
Stuff up.
Mm.
Grounding the ball out.
And it's just a really good start for Logan Webb. Not as good of an outing for the Giants bullpen. And not as good of an outing for the A's in Oakland last night.
Yeah, Kyle, we talked yesterday about the over-under. I think I'm taking the under.
I still feel good about the over. I think two things with Cleveland. One, I think Cleveland's going to be pretty good.
Okay.
And two, Shane Bieber is a Cy Young candidate. Shane Bieber's awesome.
Okay.
So I'm not super concerned just yet. And again, I don't think the A's are going to win 80 games or anything nuts like that. I think the over-under is like 56 and a half.
Yeah, but I could see them striking out 13 times every game.
That's fine. That's baseball.
Okay.
This is just baseball now.
All right.
I don't mind that. Yeah, the A's lose 8-0. And obviously the score was not the story last night.
No.
It was how empty the stadium was because there was a party going on in the parking lot.
Well, Kyle, they did draw 13,000 fans.
Apparently. I was so fascinated when the pictures started coming out. And I was so fascinated to see what number they were going to produce. What number are they going to throw out there? And it ended up being like 13,522 or something like that.
Whatever.
And no chance, dude.
No.
I've been there when the announced attendance was like 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around and you're like,
there might be two.
I'm not buying nine.
Yeah.
And then last night they announced 13. And I was looking at it going, I wouldn't buy six. So shout out to everybody who went and went to the block party and partied in the parking lot. And if you went into the game, shout out to you as well. I hope you had a good time watching that team.
Yeah.
That is not invested in at all get smoked. The thing that bugged me last night was when the pictures of the empty stadium were going around. The message behind that is supposed to be like, look at what this ownership group that baseball is ushering into a new market. Look at what this ownership group has done to a market that has had this team and has won World Series and has led the league in attendance and used to have the highest payroll in baseball. Look at what this ownership group has done to this market and to this fan base. And I saw reactions to the empty seat photos. They were like, yep, this is why they're leaving.
Yeah.
And that level of bootlicking is astounding. If you're looking at the empty Oakland Coliseum from last night, and your reaction is like, oh, good, they should be moving, and you are just okay with an owner purposely pushing fans away and making the team worse on purpose so he could take his ball and go to Vegas?
Yeah, the desert.
To a smaller market, by the way?
Yeah.
With no established fan base?
With no room to build anything other than a very small stadium? In a city that has entertainment going on 24/7 every single day?
In a sport that people don't enjoy the way they enjoy the NFL, where they're going to go to an NFL game instead of doing whatever they're going to do in Vegas?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I just don't understand the entire concept there. It's bad. Like, there is no way that they're going to find success. And you know why they're not going to find success there, Kyle? I don't even think it has anything to do with Vegas, because Vegas has, like, they are baseball fans. Like,
sure.
Yeah, it's
sure.
Kind of, they had the Las Vegas Stars forever, and they've always been. It's
they have the Aviators now, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good baseball town, right? The problem is that there are so many other things that are going on there, and you still have the same cheap-ass owner who doesn't put any money into the product.
That's it.
He is a miserable troll, not just in Major League Baseball. If MLS could put him in, stuff him into a cannon and shoot him out into the Pacific, they would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has done so much damage everywhere.
The earthquakes stink, by the way.
Yeah, because
the team
of him.
That John Fisher owns, yes.
Yeah, because of him, though.
Yes.
Like, they have one of the lowest payrolls in the MLS. Like, talk about, again, you want to go steal a team.
And
they got a stadium, didn't they?
I read that there were 13 transfer fees this year, just this year, higher than the highest one the Quakes have ever signed a player for.
Yeah, ever.
And they don't, there's allotted player slots where the money doesn't come from the MLS pool. It comes from, like, the owner's pocket and all this other stuff. And they just don't pay for it.
No.
And the idea that everything's just going to be hunky-dory in Vegas is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And not only that, but this group of young players that we're watching right now, Zach Geloff, mm-hmm. Lawrence Butler, mm-hmm. Estuary Ruiz.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be around when this thing opens.
Nope.
Because we're talking about like 6 years and the A's aren't going to pay Minimum. Anybody.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay anybody.
They're gone.
Yeah. So like you can't even get excited about the players you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. So shout out to everybody who was at the block party in the parking lot last night. We will talk with Casey Pratt from ABC 7 in the Bay Area. He was on the ground last night at the block party. He was in the stadium. And he's been all over this Oakland A's relocation. We'll talk to him about the Sacramento stuff as well. He will join us at 11 o'clock. But we got to put a pin in baseball because we have a huge Sacramento Kings game tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Can the Kings bounce back? We will talk about it next on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That was a big game tonight. Sacramento Kings back in action after two weird days off. And they are taking on the Dallas Mavericks. Once again at Golden 1 Center, looking to avoid a 36-point blowout. James, how do they do it?
Well, what you do...
How do you lose by 25 instead?
Is you shock... You send a second body at Luka Doncic. You send a second body at Kyrie Irving. You send a second body at PJ Washington. You send a second body at...
Play with 10 players.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Double
you just keep
everyone.
Sending a second body at everyone and hope it all works out.
Dude, that's kind of where... So it's obviously not this easy. But it wouldn't shock me if it winds up being this easy where we come in on Monday... we talk during games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where during the game, it's just kind of, the Mavs just missed some shots that they made the other night, and the Kings were able to keep it closer and didn't get out of their offense, and the game went differently.
Yeah.
And if PJ Washington starts 1-for-3 from three instead of 3-for-3, game goes different. If Luka is not hitting, and Luka might just hit ridiculous shots, that's what he does. That's why he's an MVP candidate, despite the fact that the Mavs are battling for a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hit shots. Kyrie's going to hit shots. But maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. doesn't knock down everything he puts at the rim. You know, there's little things that could go differently where the Kings don't do a lot different. And the game script just is a little bit more favorable and we see a better performance. It might just be that easy.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it could just be that a couple of these guys, what you're talking about, just don't hit their shots right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the Kings to hit their shots, and we see sort of the landslide go the other way. I definitely think that these are two pretty evenly matched teams, overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Mavericks did a better job of playing Kings basketball than the Kings did.
Yep.
In the loss. And now, what do you see from the Kings? How do they rebound? How do they come back and show you that they're not that team? And I don't know. It's a big challenge. And last year I would have said, the Kings would come back and we're going to see this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what the Kings are going to do. I mean,
I have no idea.
Yeah, because I've seen them let go of the rope too many times. And I've seen them get beat by a team badly,
mm-hmm.
and then play that team again right afterwards. And I think, they're going to be fine and they'll get them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw it from Houston. We saw it from the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, so there is that sort of mystical thing out there that you don't know who this team is still.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so with Houston and with New Orleans, I think there's just a matchup deal there where the Kings are better overall than Houston, but Houston just for some reason gives the Kings fits.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens sometimes. Weird stuff. Atlanta has now beaten Boston twice this week.
Well, hey, like
FYI.
And
both without Trae Young, by the way.
And Denver's a better team than the Sacramento Kings. And the Kings won the series 3-1.
Kings might just be a little matchup problem for Denver.
Yeah.
1,000%. Like weird stuff happens like that. I don't think that's the case here. I know that Dallas made some moves at the deadline and they look a little bit different now. But I don't think Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, fine players, like good starting caliber NBA players for sure. But I don't think that is such a dramatic shift that all of a sudden the Kings are like, we can't figure it out against Dallas. We just got nothing for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case. So I'm not as worried about the, you mentioned Houston and New Orleans, both teams that we thought, okay, Kings get blown out, they're going to bounce back, and then they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that same concern tonight, which is probably why I should have that concern. The fact that I'm so confident that Sacramento's going to bounce back means a 20-point loss on deck.
Yeah, I mean, I think just in all honesty, like anyone who tells you that they know what this team is going to be and what they're going to do, they're not being honest with you.
Yeah, like, or they're just going to be wrong.
Well, yeah, and like my point of view is always to be like brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't like sure. hold punches. Like mm-hmm. this is the job. Like you mm-hmm. you've got to be honest. You can't be a fan of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And this team has like a weird characteristic to it that just lends itself to being completely inconsistent and something that unpredictable is, mm-hmm. I think, even a better way of it. They are very, very unpredictable where mm-hmm. certain nights they look like they can beat anybody in the world and they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then other nights you're just like, who are you and what are you doing? And like, I can see it from the opening tip whether they're going to be in a game or not. Like, honestly, I can't tell you from the day before.
Yeah.
But when I watch them walk out onto the floor, there's a certain energy that they have where you're like, oh, okay, game on.
Yeah.
And then other nights where you're like, okay, I've seen enough. They're not winning this game.
Yeah.
Like, I know it right away now once the game starts. Like, yeah. Oh, no, I can start writing my story now.
That was kind of why Tuesday night was so shocking to me. I thought they played pretty well in the first half. For the most part, Luka had 26.
Yeah.
But Luka's ridiculous. So you're going, okay, he probably won't have 26 again in the second half.
I think all of us said also, they shot 60% from three. They're not going to shoot 60% from three.
And then they just did.
No, they did. They just ran you over.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm. You're right. There's no feel.
Yeah.
I thought for sure I had it nailed down. I thought for sure they were winning on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings. I felt really good about it. And then that game happens. So no, I don't know. But what I do know is I think Dallas threw some things at them defensively that they didn't have an in-game adjustment for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's something where Mike Brown might have gotten out-coached a little bit. But now, hey, this is what the playoffs are like. You got to make an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You see a team 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a row. So I'm interested to see if Dallas does the same thing where they're not dropping their bigs. And if they don't, how do the Kings respond?
Yeah, what's the reaction?
Yeah.
What is the counter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also, like, if they're going to pick up De'Aaron Fox full court, like, somebody go out there and just set some mean screens and make him knock, stop it.
Right. If only they had a really good big screener.
Yeah. Well,
run the dribble handoff in the backcourt.
Yes.
Write that down, Mike. dribble handoffs 60 feet from the basket.
60 feet. Yeah, I think this is where you really do miss Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trey would. He would see that happening and be like, oh, no. I'm going to go clear that up.
Yeah.
And go set a screen on Derrick Jones Jr. and just wipe him out of the play. And then you get Fox with space. And that's one thing that I think we will see from the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really, really tried hard to get the ball out of Fox's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he still had plenty of opportunity, but it just wasn't the same. He wasn't, like, in space and running at you. And that's when Fox is the most dangerous. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's adjustments to be made. And that's another reason that I'm a little bit more optimistic tonight, maybe foolishly, but I don't think the Mavs are 36 points better than the Kings.
No.
I don't think that something happened, and we talked about this with Jesse yesterday on the handoff. I don't think something happened Tuesday night that made me go, oh, shoot, the Kings all of a sudden erase everything they've done since the All-Star break, really.
Mm-hmm.
Especially defensively. Erase it all. They can't get stops again. I didn't see anything like that. I didn't see anything that made me think that the Mavs are just a bad matchup. I saw the Kings play a bad game. So they get a couple nights off. They had to bounce back against the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff-like atmosphere at Golden 1 Center, or at least it should be. I think it's
going to be pretty wild.
I think it'll be fun. So, yeah, man, it's a huge spot. We had a break.
You don't want to say it's the whole ball, it is.
It kind of is, and that's what we'll talk about next. Just how big is this game tonight at Golden 1 Center? I was going to open that can now, but we have a minute. Not even a minute. We got to go now. So we'll do that next. We'll talk about exactly what this game means for the Kings and why it is so important for them to win. Or is it? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, pull up tomorrow, y'all. 3 o'clock, we've got an Elite Eight watch party. That's with the Insiders. That's us. That's me. That's James Hamm.
It is us.
I'm Kyle Madsen, if you didn't know. Player Sports Pub and Grill. It's at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be out there at 3 o'clock. Hanging out till 6:30 or so.
Okay.
Come out, have a drink, have some food, watch some basketball. You don't have to stay the whole time. Drop in, say what's up. And James, you mentioned there might be hoodies.
Yeah, we might want to go talk to promotions, but yeah.
We haven't done that yet? We haven't.
I think that was initially what the plan was there, but I don't know.
Well, because I thought we were out of the hoodies. So if you're not sure, so at shopdlonkc.com. There are Insiders hoodies, and you can go buy those. In fact, we encourage you to go do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up some merch at shopdlonkc.com. But we had Jiffy Lube as part of a giveaway at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Also provided some hoodies.
Yeah,
that look a little different. And these were like, hey, these are for the giveaway, and then we're just gonna have some extras. You know, people, the office have one or whatever. And I thought they were gone. Well, the other day, I found out that there's like boxes left.
Yeah. I mean, we had, I think initially we had like 40.
Yeah. So I just hand them out on occasion.
I keep out of here. I keep going and getting a new one for myself. Like, well, I don't even want to wash
one. The same one twice?
I'm just going to keep getting another one. I don't even want to wash it. I'm just going to like get it and then I'll throw it somewhere and leave it there and then go get another one.
So that's, I thought they were gone, but they're not. Mm. And so I learned we had a bunch of them. And then you were like, yeah, hey, watch party. We might just pull up with them.
Oh, yeah.
Them away.
I mean, we're not giving all of them away, but they are hard to get. Like, they're nearly impossible to get.
You can't, in fact, you can't get one unless we give them to you.
Or unless James insults a salesperson and then Kyle goes and gives him one afterwards.
And then Kyle feels bad for that salesperson. I'm a softie, dude.
Yeah, you're a softie.
What do you want?
And we can crack jokes because, hey, let's be honest, they're probably not listening to the show.
He might be. He might be.
We'll see. We'll see if he comes over and knocks on the glass. I'm listening. Yeah.
If he might just walk in here. If he walked in his insider's hoodie,
oh,
he could host the rest of the show. I'd be out of here.
Oh.
He can just do it.
I don't know. I just heard his one story about his trip to Tahoe last night to watch NCAA tournament games and play some parlays. Did not go well for our guy.
Oof.
He might need a sweatshirt.
Been there.
After that.
Who among us?
He might need a shirt to like wear tomorrow.
Parlays are so dumb, dude. It is when I go to Vegas, inevitably, you know, you go up and especially you go during the summer, it's baseball season. I'm like, I like Cleveland against the A's tonight, minus a run and a half. And you know what? I love the Dodgers. A minus 1.5 against the Cardinals. If you're unfamiliar in baseball, the run line is always minus 1.5. Mm. It is never more, it's never less. It is always a run and a half. The difference will be in the juice on it.
Okay.
So how much you win
if
for taking over or under the 1.5.
Okay.
So if a team is probably going to throttle somebody, so the Diamondbacks, probably going to throttle the
well,
Rockies.
Let's just say Cleveland.
Just Cleveland and Oakland. So Cleveland might be minus 1.5, but it's bet $100 to win 50.
Mm.
Whereas in a closer game like Giants Padres, the minus 1.5, Padres minus 1.5 might be a bet 100 to win 200.
Okay.
You know, like that. So that's where the difference is. Anyways, always go, I feel good about these two games. Instead of just doing them individually like a normal person, just like, I'm going to slap them together. Let's do a little parlay action. One wins, one loses. You're out all your money. Don't do parlays. Don't do parlays.
That's the end of the story. Don't do parlays.
There's two things. My buddy Payne, who is a professional sports bettor, that's what he does. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's two things he told me. I started having him on the radio when I was on the radio in Sacramento, or at Sac State. Shout out to KSSU. And he said, his first time ever had him on, he said, never bet more than he can afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as a lock.
Oh,
locks
no.
do not exist. Every wager comes with a level of risk. And the third thing that I'm going to tack on to those is don't do a parlay.
Mm. Okay. The other thing I will tell, like I used to gamble a lot when I was young and I had a grinder tell me, hey, every like 30 minutes, get up and go cash in all your chips.
Hmm.
He's like, because those chips, that's casino money. And you're just looking at it like it's casino money. The second that it looks like green money again.
Interesting.
It's real money.
Oh, I like that.
And so go cash in your money and then pull $40 out and start over.
I like that. Next time I'm in Vegas or Tahoe, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I'm heeding that. That's going right up here.
All right.
Thank you.
It worked. I mean, that day.
Good. Kings Mavs tonight at Golden One Center.
Would this be a lock, Kyle? This Kings Mavs game?
No. No Kings game is a lock ever.
One way or the other.
I would never if we were in a legal gambling state, I would never wager on the Kings.
No.
Okay,
so last year
taking my job aside, if I lived in Iowa, I think it's legal in Iowa, because my lack of feel for the team is outrageous.
Okay.
So I just wouldn't bet. Anyways,
I seriously, I would never, ever bet on this team. Yeah, it's like one way or another. I know there was a season a couple of years ago. It's a season under Dave Yeager where they came out and they ran everybody off the court.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the over. Like they were not favored in, I think it was 13 out of the first 15 games, mm-hmm. and they had defied. They beat the odds like almost every single game.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just like putting money on the Kings every single game, you would have won a boatload of cash.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I don't know. Anyway.
Anyways. Kings Mavs tonight, Golden 1 Center.
Mm-hmm.
No feel. I hate this. We've talked about this before, but the idea of a must win. Obviously, winning this one is a big deal for Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
You have the season series with the Mavs. You are once again tied with the Mavs in the standings. And now they have to pick up two games ostensibly on you to beat you in the standings. I don't think the Kings need to win tonight necessarily, as much as I need to see them play really well. If they play like they had the couple of weeks leading up to Tuesday night's game,
mm-hmm.
save for the weird game in Washington.
Yep.
But if they had played, if they play tonight the way they did during those 2 weeks, I'm going to feel just fine about where they're at. And again, not to say, oh, everything's exactly the same. You'd much rather them win than lose. But I don't think if they lose tonight 102 to 101 and Luka and Kyrie hit some ridiculous shots and it's like, oh, hey, what are you going to do? That's the NBA. I'm not going to go, whoop, season's over. They can't make the playoffs. It's done. I can't get there. Now, if they play really poorly again in this spot, then I'll have some concerns. I just need to see them play well.
Yeah, and I think the way this works out, too, is that we're acting like that if the Kings do lose this game, that there's no way for them to catch Dallas. There still is a way to catch Dallas.
Yeah.
And you don't lose the season series if you lose tonight. You mm-hmm. tie the season series, mm-hmm. and the second tiebreaker, the Kings and Dallas are almost tied as well. And so this could come down to, like, literally just, you know, who finishes with a better record down the stretch against divisional opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And conference opponents. And so I'm kind of looking at this like, yeah, you got to win this game, but you got to win this game because you're running out of games to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like, again, there's 10 games left in the season. After tonight, there's only 9. Yeah. And, you know, you got a game on Sunday and like, you got to win that game too. Like, it doesn't matter who's in front of you. This team, if they want to be a playoff team, not a play-in team and not risk that. And not only that, but there's a chance right now they're not even a home playoff team, a play-in mm-hmm. team in the first round yeah. of the play-in tournament, and that would not be good.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, that'd be tough. So, although, hey, look, they also don't play that well at home. So, I don't know. Maybe it is a good thing that you're not a home play-in team, but I don't want any of the smoke from some of these play-in teams
nope.
because, you know, again, you got a Lakers team who's playing better.
Yeah.
You got a...
You might have a Houston team that may not have lost in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's beat you like a yeah. drum all season long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little precarious for sure, but I'm kind of excited because we're in this position to watch.
Yeah, dude.
You know,
the thing I'm most interested in tonight is just how the Kings come out.
Mm-hmm.
How do they respond to this? Because this isn't necessarily a new situation for them. We saw them last year, this group of players, largely, last year go into Chase Center against the defending champions and blow them out at Chase Center to force a game 7.
Yeah.
And that was a spot where, like, man, you could have been up 3-1 in this series, and now you're down 3-2, and God, that's just, you know what, it was a good run. You could have easily punted in game 6 and just called it a season.
Yeah.
But they responded and played the best they'd played all series. And so now that to me is what tonight is how do you bounce back from, dang, pretty crushing loss in a pretty big spot at home, you lose by 36 and just kind of everything goes wrong. Is it, oh man, everything's going to go, everything went wrong and it's just, oh, it's Luka and Kyrie and we just can't do the refs and this and that. Or you come out and go, all right, no, we are way better than we were the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to show everybody. and we're going to go win this game and roll that into winning the season series and then roll that into a really tough stretch of the schedule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you have to remember, they beat Dallas twice early in the season.
Correct.
Like, we're not talking about this is a team that you can't beat.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Rich was standing behind me, but no. we're okay.
Just Jonathan. Shout out to our IT department.
Yeah, that's right. I want to see how this team responds, because we keep waiting for the moment where it's not just a one-game response. It's a continued response, mm-hmm. right? And this is it. Like, right here. Like, either you're a playoff team or you're not
mm-hmm.
right now.
And that's right. And that's so Katrina in the chatty house said every game is a must win at this point.
Yes.
I think every game is a I think I disagree.
That every game is a must win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because to me, like I said, tonight for me is a must play well. Because sometimes against a team like Dallas, if Luka and Kyrie get hot, like, so go back and watch some of the shots Luka hit in the first half the other night.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a defense for it. There's nothing you're going to do when you have a hand in his face, you're high-fiving him after the shot like you're taught to do, and he still hits a 29-foot step back.
And complains to ref about it.
And then like, bitches the whole way down the court.
Yeah, did you see him touch me?
And then while he's complaining with his guy here, this happened, by the way. The guy Luka defending is in the corner. I think it was Harrison Barnes. It's in the corner. Luka's talking to the ref here. Harrison then jogs baseline to go to the other side. Luka turns, follows him, and starts chirping at the ref on the baseline. Like, oh my God. So if they play well tonight, if they respond and play really good defense and the offense looks okay, and you know what? They just missed a couple open shots and the Mavs made a couple extra shots and that was the difference. I'm still going to feel good about, hey, they can go beat Utah and the Clippers and Phoenix and all these other games they have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. They're in the same spot they were going into Tuesday, where I'm like, yeah, hey, you know what? They're playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
On the other hand, to Katrina's point, if you lose tonight, okay, now we're talking some must wins. Now you need to go beat the Jazz.
Oh, yeah. I mean, either way, you have to beat the Jazz.
Yeah,
you only have three games that you can circle on your schedule that are, I don't want to say easy, but that are like winnable games,
yeah,
right?
Right, that you should be chalking up as a W.
That we just chalk up, exactly. Mm-hmm. That we circle and say, okay, win, win, win.
Yeah.
And that's the Utah game. You've got one against the Nets, and then you finish the season against the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The other seven games are tough.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you've got their games against, it's one against Phoenix, who you're chasing. It's one against the Clippers, who you're chasing.
The Mavs, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Celtics.
Yeah.
Suns.
The brutal stretch.
Yeah. The Pelicans that you haven't proven that you can beat the whole time.
And so when you start getting into that stretch, then I think you're talking must wins. But tonight I just need to see them bounce back and play well.
Okay.
And maybe that's just me insulating myself from them coming out flat and but if they do, I do not feel good about them.
Okay, so
They do come out flat,
I'm gonna take a counter. First of all, don't come out flat, because again, I can tell you whether they're gonna win in the first couple of minutes of the game. This is like a sweep the leg moment. Like, go out there and finish somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
And go out there and take care of business. And I'm not sure that they can do that,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, Dallas is a good team, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't walk in with that mentality and we should see a great game tonight.
I hope so.
And if you don't, I think that's where you're talking about. This is one of those moments where, like, who are you and who do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And if this is who you want to be and this is who you've, like, told us from the beginning of the season you want to be a contender, mm-hmm. okay. Here it is. It's right here in front of you. It's you got a crazy fan base, mm-hmm. who's cheering you on every single step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is kind of going towards, like, this is a huge game. Like, step up. Be in this game.
You know, I'm a little bit optimistic for tonight. Is Malik Monk did not play well on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Domantas Sabonis did not play well on Tuesday. And you're going into a spot where, hey, if you're going to win big games, if you're going to be a factor in the playoffs, it is on Malik Monk, it is on Domantas Sabonis, it is on De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need your other players to play well, too. That's baked into this. But you're going to lean on your stars in those moments. And that's where tonight, yeah, Domas can play a lot better. Malik Monk can play a lot better. De'Aaron Fox can certainly play better. And if you're getting those three guys out front, stepping in and going, okay, I'm going to carry this team tonight,
mm-hmm.
which they're all capable of doing, I think that puts you in another good spot to win. And that's why I think at the, you know, again, I do not have enough feel that I will confidently say either way what I think the Kings are going to do tonight. But that's part of the reason that the level of confidence I do feel, that's a big reason why, is that trio didn't play well Tuesday, and you're telling me all three are going to not play well again? I have a tougher time believing that.
What I'm really hoping is that the 2 days off here help this team. And I'm not sure if they did or not. We're going to have to wait and see. But this team looked exhausted against Dallas last time out. And I need to see the bounce back game. And you talk about Monk. Man, Malik hasn't hit a three in three games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's and not only that, but is carrying over his last six games. He's 3 for 29 from three.
It's really bad. I think he's 27% since the break.
He's shooting 10% in his last six games.
Oh.
And again, he's 0 for his last nine over the last three games. He hasn't hit a three in three games. That's not okay. And on top of that, I'm going to add this little caveat. Two of the games where he's gone 0 for from three,
mm-hmm.
Two of those games, he hasn't gone to the free throw line either.
Yikes.
And it's like, look, man, if you're not going to hit your shots, you got to get in there and mix it up. Before that, I mean, 7 for 7 free throw attempts. You can't have him have three free throw attempts over a three-game period when he's this style of player. And yeah. So if it's not falling from the outside, get inside and get to the rim and get to the free throw line. And, you know, again, this is I think a lot of this is going to be on De'Aaron and it's going to be on Malik.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to put some of it on Domas,
mm-hmm.
but those two need to bust loose in this because if Dallas has to start chasing those guys,
yeah.
then it opens up everything for everyone else.
I think the other thing I'd like to see too, Mike Brown, before and after Tuesday's game, talked about, you know, you embrace losing because there are things you can learn from it. And that's a way to get better. So he's like, obviously I want to win every game, but when you lose, you take things with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that you can take from Tuesday's game, and I'm interested to see if this is the case tonight, let's say Dallas does start out hot. Let's say PJ Washington goes 3 for 3 and Luka hits some shots and Kyrie hits some shots and Tim Hardaway gets an and one and the Kings are down early. Do they revert to doing what they did on Tuesday?
Mm.
Where it's these long bounce passes up ahead and getting into the lane and throwing stuff at the rim, trying to get foul calls instead of, you know, kicking it out for open threes, sprays, if you will. That's one of the things that I thought really got sideways the other night. And there's a chance that, again, hey, Dallas is playing really well. I think they've won 8 of 9 and 4 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. They won 4 and lost one and then won 4 more. Dallas is playing well. There's definitely a chance that Dallas at some point in this game is up 10, 12 points. And do you learn from Tuesday? Or do you go, oh, well, bad matchup for us. We're done. Guess we don't have it tonight. We're not going to get the calls. We're just done. Because that's on the table.
Yep.
And that is a thing that you can learn from Tuesday.
So Dallas 1-4, lost 1-5. They've won 5 in a row at this point.
Oh, 5 in a row. Jeez.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I would point out.
9 of 10?
Yeah, they've won 9 out of 10.
Ooh.
I'd also point out that, like, look, if we really look at the way that the game kind of fell apart, what I can't do is I can't have Fox and Monk looking at Kyrie and Luka and trying to emulate what they do.
Yes.
Stop. Like, play Kings basketball. Don't play hero ball.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at what they're doing and try to impress or try to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Go play the game that's got you here.
Mm-hmm.
And they got you there last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Stick to your principles.
Mm-hmm.
Move the ball. Find somebody else. The spray three. Mm-hmm. Use Domas, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get hung up in and trying to play the game like they do. That's not who you are.
Yep.
So, I mean, you've got flashes of that, but that's not who you are. And it's not who you have to be.
No.
And it's not how this team is the best.
No, I'm right there with you. You're right. There are definitely times where I watch the Kings and I go, you know what? This just needs to be De'Aaron Fox take overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Just go be the best player on the court for 2 minutes and get the team back in the game. But if they're going to sustain any kind of offense, it's running their offense.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it. And things get different in crunch time, you know, final 3 minutes, tie game. Maybe things look a little bit different, but if a team goes on a run early in the second half, it doesn't mean it's time to abandon everything.
No.
I'm with you.
Yep.
Speaking of abandoning things, I'm abandoning the press box tonight.
Oh.
I'm fanning it.
You're going full fan?
I'm going full fan.
Oh.
I am. I'm wearing a Monarchs hat.
Oh.
Okay. I might have a beer.
You're going to have a beer?
I might have a beer.
You said it quietly.
I might have a beer.
All right.
I might have a, you know what? I might have a Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer.
That's
who's sponsoring the watch party tomorrow at 3:00 at Players Sports Pub and Grill at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. James and I are going to be out there for some Elite Eight basketball. Hope to see you all there.
Yep.
Yeah, I might have a beer tonight.
Okay.
Maybe two.
If you guys are still around after the game, maybe I'll just like, hey, let's go get a drink.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have plans right now.
All right.
All right, I'll run it by the boss.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes.
I'm in.
I haven't been to a game I haven't walked into Golden One Center with a ticket since 2000. Like, I've gone up with a credential. I've stood at the draft house with friends or whatever. But I have not gone in with a ticket since pre-pandemic.
I will tell you, I did have the guys who sit on the front row right by the Kings bench.
Mm-hmm.
They've been like, hey, if there's a game you want to go to and you want to come as a fan, but like again, they have all access to one of the clubs. And
of course.
Like next thing you know,
of course.
I don't want to be just like
you had a reputation to uphold,
belligerent.
You got an image.
But I would still I would love to go watch a game as a fan. It's been years and years and years.
Oh my god, point. Yeah.
It would be different. That's why I love going to an A's game and taking sure. it in, mm-hmm. and so, we'll see. Maybe mm-hmm. one of these days, Kyle.
Maybe.
Oh, we should have Banzito's going to be there tonight.
Yeah, dude.
Oh yeah, taco time.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. You got to communicate with me on that. If you don't get tacos, let me know what you want, and I'll bring some in.
Okay.
But that's something we should try and plan for next season. Is figuring out a day that works to go to a basketball game as non-media people.
Mm.
Not a Kings game necessarily.
Okay.
But maybe we go down and the Kings are playing in LA and then the Clippers play the next night or whatever. I don't know.
All right. I'm with you.
Put it in the idea box. All right. Casey Pratt is going to join us now at 11:30. He is a very important newsman and had some prior obligations, so we were pushing him back to 11:30. We'll talk about the A's boycott last night at opening day at the Coliseum. That's coming up at 11:30. He was on the ground there. He was at the boycott. He was in the stadium. He was in the dugout. He was in the locker room. Clubhouse. Sorry, he was in the clubhouse. He's in the clubhouse. So we'll chat with him about all things A's and A's relocation coming up at 11:30. We just talked about the Kings needed to bounce back. How do they do that? Keys to victory coming up next in the second hour on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.